girl, not his. And now, she's as good as gone. She's with him. She's probably fucking him right now. Ben, I shout, shaking his shoulder. He finally seems to realize who he's talking to. That's my daughter, kid. Shit. His eyes widen, and he backs away. Sorry, sir, I just... Shit. He turns away, fists clenched behind his head. Ben. I bark his name, a little harsher than I intended to. He halts in place and turns around. Colt, Mr. Calloway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Have you told her any of this? I really like this kid. He has all the best qualities of both Jason and Becca. He's athletic, smart, caring, and usually fairly even-keeled. I've never, ever seen him this agitated about anything. I feel like I have to help him somehow. If she doesn't know what you're thinking, what you've... how you feel, how is she supposed to do anything about it? I'm not saying it'd change anything, 'cause it might not, but it can't hurt to at least talk to her. You're right. God damn it, you're right. He scrubs his hand through his hair again, his posture and mannerisms so much like Jason's, it's scary. Look, Colt, I'm sorry I blew up like that. I had no right to say any of that, especially to you, sir. So I'm sorry. I slap him on the back. It's all right, kid. Women can fuck with our heads, man. I get it. I squeeze the back of his neck a little harder than strictly necessary. Just don't talk about my daughter like that ever again, huh? He winces, ducks away from me. Yes, sir, I won't. I swear. I let him go, and I watch him go inside. This is shaping up to get messy, and I don't envy Ben his position. I've seen the way Kylie looks at Oz, and I don't think any amount of talking is going to change her mind. Unless, of course, Oz does something stupid. I honestly don't know what to think. It's not until Ben's in his house and I'm trudging up the stairs to my room that the realization hits me like a sledgehammer. I've only seen the two boys in the same place once, but now that my brain's going, I'm realizing that there's something similar about them. Not their personalities, but physically, something I can't put my finger on. But there's a nagging sense of the familiar about Oz, and somehow that includes Ben. The thought doesn't make any sense, but it strikes me as true nonetheless. Nell is sitting up in bed, the blankets pulled up around her chest, reading an old paperback novel, a well-worn book she's read at least a dozen times.
I heard shouting. Was that Ben?
She glances at me, setting the book face down on her lap, then looks at the clock on the bedside table.
And it's past midnight. Where's our daughter?
I'm not sure where she is. With Oz, I'm guessing. I shed all my clothes except my boxers and climb onto the bed beside her. And yeah, that was Ben. He's all sorts of worked up.
About what?
Kylie and Oz, or more specifically, the two of them being together.
He feels left out?
Nell slips a bookmark into her page and sets the book on the nightstand, turning toward me. I shake my head. No, more that he feels like Oz stole her from him. He just put it more colorfully.
Oh.
Nell's eyes widen.
Oh, boy. He likes her?
I think it's more than that. It sounded to me like he's had feelings for her for a long time. He just never told her. And now it's looking like she's with Oz, for all intents and purposes, and he feels like he's lost out. I grimace. God, Nellie, what's our girl gonna do? I told him to talk to her, and I'm not sure I should have. Nell nods.
Yeah, she's goo-goo eyes for Oz.
She sighs.
This isn't going to go well for anyone.
No, that's my thinking. I reach for her, and she shifts toward me. What do we do? She shrugs the blankets away, and I realize she's been waiting for me, naked beneath the sheets.
What can we do? She's not a little girl anymore. She's graduating in a couple of months, Colt, going to college. I think we have to let her deal with this on her own.
Someone's gonna get hurt.
Yeah, we can't protect her from everything.
I know.
It sucks, though.
I roll to my back, and Nell moves above me, reaches between us, guides me to her entrance. I hiss through my teeth as she impales herself on me. God, Nell. I caress her ribs, her breasts, her hips, her thighs, kiss every inch of skin I can reach. She plants her palms on my chest and kisses me, moving slowly. The kiss ends, but our lips only barely part, and we exchange breath and whispers and sighs as we move together. And then she's groaning, moaning, our foreheads touching.
Colt.
She starts to lose her rhythm and moves with increasing desperation.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my God, Colt.
Fuck, Nell. We come apart at the same moment, collapse together. Nearly 20 years, and she makes me come as hard as the first time we slept together in that New York City apartment. Harder, if anything. I've learned every nuance of her body, learned every one of her secret desires, learned how to bring her to the cusp within moments, learned every curve and how to elicit every sigh and grunt and curse, and it never gets any less intense. The longer we're together, the better it gets. I think it can't get any better, and then, every single time, it does. She falls asleep on top of me, her head cradled on my chest, our bodies slick and sticky and messy, and I don't even care. Eventually, I roll with her, and she twists so I can spoon her, and we sleep. It's past 1 in the morning, and I've been sleeping with one eye open. So when I hear the garage door, I slip quickly out of bed, tug on some shorts and a tank top. Before I can get downstairs to meet her, I hear her voice and Ben's.
Damn it, Ben, I'm tired. I want to go inside. I'm probably in major trouble, and I don't have the energy for this conversation right now.
She's on the other side of the door, leading from the house to the garage. My hand is on the knob, just like hers probably is. I debate giving her privacy for about 6 seconds, but then I remember that my job as her father is to be there for her, no matter what, and do the best for her. I have a feeling she'll need me on this side of the door in just a few minutes. So I lean against the door jamb and listen.
Just answer me, Kylie, Ben demands. What, Ben? What do you want to know?
She sounds tired and wary.
Were you with him? Yes, Ben, I was. I was with Oz.
The doorknob twists.
Is that it?
No, that's not it. He's angry, and I know from experience that's the quickest way to get Kylie to clam up.
What were you doing with him? That's none of your business, Ben.
The fuck it isn't. He sounds a little closer.
You're my best friend, and he's... Who is he? Some fuck-up new guy. I know for a fact he does drugs. He smokes cigarettes. I smell smoke on you, Kai. What were you doing? I don't owe you any fucking explanations, Ben.
She lets go of the knob, and her voice sounds farther away, as if she's moving toward him.
Yes, you do!
Ben is loud, and so angry. This wasn't what I had in mind, Ben. I want to say to him.
Why?
She asks this quietly, far too calmly. She's got that deadly, quiet kind of anger, just like me.
Why do I owe you explanations of what I do and with whom? Tell me, Ben. You're my friend, not my father, not my mother, not my boyfriend. You should be. It should be me.
He sounds deflated, defeated.
I... what?
She's confused now. It should have been me. With you. It was always supposed to be me. But it's him, and I don't fucking get it.
Where is this coming from, Ben? We've never been anything but friends. You've never given me the slightest hint that you were interested in me as more than a friend. If it was always supposed to be you, then why didn't you ever say anything?
Her voice is small, wounded, and fraught with tragic despair.
Because I thought you... Fuck! Because I thought I had time. I wanted to wait until you graduated, till you were 18. You've never been even remotely interested in anyone else. Not in our whole lives. And we've always been together. Sure, we didn't kiss or whatever, but you've always been mine. I thought when you graduated we'd spend the summer together, go on a road trip. I had it all planned out. We'd head west and see where the road took us. We'd be friends at first, like always, and in time you'd see how perfect we are for each other.
Ben lets out a long, groaning sigh.
And then he came along and fucked it all up. Oh, hell, Benji, why didn't you ever say anything? Why? A year ago, even 6 months ago. I'm not saying that anything would have happened for sure, but if you'd said something then, there may have been a chance.
She groans, and then her voice raises to a shout.
And why is everyone so fucking concerned about me being 18? Is there some magic in being 18 versus 17? I'm not going to suddenly change in the next 2 weeks. Fuck!
Don't call me Benji. I'm not your Benji. His voice hardens. Have you had sex with him?
That,
she hisses the word, venomous, is none of your business.
You have.
It's not a question. It's an accusation.
I'm done talking about this.
I hear her footsteps nearing the door, and the knob twists.
I've been in love with you since I was 14, Kai. I've been waiting for the right time for 6 years.
The knob snaps back into place.
God damn it, Ben.
She sighs.
You waited too long.
He'll wreck your life. You're choosing him over me, and I promise you, a loser pothead like him will only break your heart.
That's my choice, Ben.
She sniffs, and I hear the hurt in her voice.
Yeah, well, excuse me for thinking it's the wrong one. Is there anything else you'd like to say? If you're going to call me a whore, now's the time. You're not. You're just misguided. And you know what? I'll always love you.
I can almost hear him gearing up for one last attempt.
I'll wait. You'll get tired of his bullshit, and you'll come back to me, and I'll be there. I'm not sure if that's sweet or crazy. I'm not coming back to you. I was never yours. You had your chance, and you waited too long. You were my best and oldest and truest friend, Ben. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. There were times when I wished you would just stop being my friend and kiss me. I thought you were going to. A couple times. But you never did, so I figured I'd been imagining it. I didn't want to ruin what we had. I thought there was no way you'd ever be in love with me. You never showed it. And you've dated all those girls. Lindsay, Alyssa, Grace, what was her name, the redhead? Brianna? Oh yeah, and Hattie. Who has that name anyway? Hattie? I don't know what you saw in her. She's a lunatic. If you were so in love with me, what was all that about?
I thought if you saw me with other girls, you'd get jealous. And I felt like I'd been waiting for so long, and maybe I was just holding on to how I used to feel. So I thought if I dated other girls, it'd clarify things.
And it did. It showed me I only wanted you. Those girls, they were fun and cool, but they weren't you. And yeah, Hattie was a bit weird. That's why it only lasted 2 weeks. Did you have sex with any of them, Ben?
Her voice now is sharp and accusing. The silence is deafening.
You did!
She's shrill with disbelief.
Yeah, Ben. Really in love with me. Waiting for me, huh? You want to know the truth? No, I haven't slept with Oz yet, but I'm going to. We care about each other. I've waited my entire life for the right time, the right guy. It just possibly could have been you, but now? No. And not just because I'm with Oz. All this, everything you just told me, acting like, oh, I'm so in love with you, and then, oh, wait, just kidding. Look at all the girls I've fucked.
That's not fair. I didn't sleep with all of them, only
I don't want to know.
She shouts him down.
I don't care. It's your business. We're friends, Ben. That's all we were, all we are, and all we'll ever be.
There's no chance?
No. None.
Fine. Fuck you too, then. I hear his footsteps moving away.
Ben, that's not... fucking hell!
A long silence extends, and I imagine her watching him walk away.
Goodbye, Ben.
A few seconds later, the door opens, and she steps in, closing the door behind her. Her head is down, and I can tell she's crying. She doesn't see me leaning against the counter until she's about to run into me. She shrieks and drops her keys.
Oh my God, Dad, you scared the shit out of me.
She picks up her keys, blinking, trying to act like she wasn't crying.
Why are you in the kitchen by yourself at 1 a.m.? Shit, it's 1 a.m. I'm in trouble, aren't I?
I was waiting for you. She seems to realize where I'm standing and glances at the door.
How much of that did you hear?
Pretty much all of it.
You can't just eavesdrop on my private conversations.
She wipes at her eyes with her finger. Yes, I can. It's my job as your father to know what's going on in your life. I take her by the shoulders and pull her to me. I'm sorry about Ben, sweetheart.
Did you know how he felt about me?
Her voice is muffled by my shirt. Not until recently. Not until Oz showed up and he started acting weird.
You didn't say anything.
Should I have? Would it have changed anything? And would you really have thanked me for butting into your life like that? I don't think so. She sniffs.
Yeah, you're probably right.
She pulls away and sets her keys on the counter, turns to rummage in the fridge for a can of Sprite.
If you heard the whole thing, you probably heard what I said about me and Oz.
Yeah, I heard that too. She sips, waits. When she realizes I'm not saying anything, she lets out a muffled belch and frowns at me.
And?
Well, shit, Kylie. What am I supposed to say? You're turning 18 in less than a month. It's going to happen at some point, and I'm glad you've waited this long. I don't really know how to handle this, Kylie. I don't. Just being honest. This is one of those moments I don't think any father is equipped or prepared to deal with. You're not a grown-up yet, but you're close. And I know all too well what would happen if I grounded you forever or tried to keep you from seeing him. I don't like it. You're my little girl, my only child, and I want you to stay innocent forever. But you won't, and I can't pretend you will, so what do? I wish I knew. If I just let you go on with this relationship with Oz, does that make me a bad parent for ignoring what I know for a fact is going on? I rub my eyes. And I'm conflicted about Oz. I don't want you to get hurt, and unfortunately, Ben could be right. I mean, Anyone can hurt you, and if you're in a relationship, you will get hurt at some point, somehow. But Oz, they're warning signs, Kylie. I'm not saying he's bad news or that he's a bad person, but...
I know, Dad, but there's more to him than everyone seems to see.
I know that, Kylie. Like you said, I, of all people, should know that. I let out a long breath. I don't want to bring this up, but I have to. Have you seen his forearms? She closes her eyes and doesn't answer for a long time. The pain I see in her eyes tells me more than her words can.
Yes, I have.
Do you know how he got those scars?
Yes, I do.
This is tricky. Is it an ongoing thing? She shakes her head.
I don't think so.
But you don't know for sure. She drinks from the can and then sets it on the counter, rotating it so the logo spins and spins and spins.
For 100% sure? No, but we talked about it.
Kylie, listen. I have to be circumspect about this. Careful. People who do things to hurt themselves, it's a warning sign of something deeper going on with them. And there's nothing anybody can do to help or to fix that person unless they're ready to be fixed or to be helped.
This is about Mom, isn't it?
It's about Oz, Kylie.
I've seen Mom's scars, Dad. I know what they are.
I know, hon. That's from a long, long time ago. She went through a very hard time, and... Look, that's her story to tell you, not mine. But yeah... I know this because of what your mom went through, and I don't want to see you go through that. Being on the other side of that, self-mutilation is a big deal. If it's a problem for him, he needs to get help. Help you can't give. I'm sorry. It's just the facts. Kylie's gaze is sharp, knowing.
You know about it too, don't you? From your own experience?
I sigh and find myself unwittingly rubbing at my chest, where my own scars lie, hidden by tattoos. Yeah, I do. I've been on both sides. Her eyes latch onto my hand, and I drop it. She looks back up at me.
So you understand why he'd have the compulsion to do that to himself?
I groan. Yeah, I do. I don't want to delve into my own history, especially not with my daughter. She really doesn't need to know about the darkness and the skeletons that haunt my past. If you're hurting inside, if you've been through something really, really painful, sometimes you just want to feel something else, anything else, even if you know it's wrong, that you're hurting yourself. The people in your life who care about you can find it very tough to get through to you. If the pain inside is big enough and bad enough, you don't care. You just need an escape, a sense of relief, no matter how fleeting it is. Same with getting high or wasted all the time. And that lifestyle, it's bad, Kylie. I don't want you anywhere near that. It's dark and it's dangerous and it can suck you under so fast. So fast.
He's not like that.
No? She ducks her head.
You don't know him, Daddy. You don't know what he's been through.
I'm not judging him, Kylie. I swear I'm not. I may not know the specifics, but I understand him better than you could ever imagine. I move closer to her, kiss the top of her head. But you're my daughter. And you're my priority. And you getting dragged through the hell someone like Oz has the capacity for, even unwittingly, without meaning to, I can't stand that. I know I have to let you live your own life, and make your own mistakes and all that, but there's got to be a limit.
So, now what?
You're a smart, responsible girl, Kylie. I trust you. I trust your judgment.
You've never given me any reason not to, so I'm going to give you your freedom in this, as much as part of me screams otherwise. Just be careful. With him, around him, don't get sucked in. Don't let him continue to hurt himself. And if he can't stop, the only thing you might be able to do is to step away and tell him you can't be with him if he keeps doing it, that you care too much to watch him destroy himself that way. It feels like betrayal, but it's not. She nods. That makes sense. I don't think it'll be a problem. I narrow my eyes. As for cigarettes, which I do smell on you, and pot, and drinking, don't be stupid, Kylie. Just don't. None of that is worth it. Thinking you'll only do it when you're around him is only lying to yourself, and I will be watching for that. If I catch you smoking, drunk, or high, you'll be in trouble. I expect better from you. This is your one warning. I pause to let that sink in. As for sex.
Got it covered, Dad. Not having that talk with you.
She won't look at me, toying with the pop tab on her can of Sprite. I'm going to say it anyway. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable, but I'm going to say it anyway. My instinct is to forbid you, to crack down and all that, but unfortunately, I know better. It wouldn't stop you, so all I'll say is be careful, be safe. If he's been with anyone else, he needs to be tested before anything happens between you two. She starts to protest, and I talk over her. Shut up and listen, Kylie. This is awkward for me, too. But if I can't stop you, I have to make sure you're safe. You told Ben you haven't been with Oz yet. So take precautions before. Be safe in more than one way, okay? I take a deep breath and force blunt honesty from myself. That means birth control and condoms. God, I hate having to have this conversation. Not just one or the other, but both. No excuses, no exceptions. I do not want to be a grandfather for a very long time. Got it? She nods, still not looking at me.
Yeah, I got it.
I touch her chin. Kylie, look at me. She does, and I let her see all my fear, all my worry. I love you, Kylie. Please, please, just be safe. Be careful, not just with your body, but with your heart and soul. And trust me when I say, if Oz does anything to hurt you, he'll answer to me. She lifts her head, her eyes fierce.
No, Dad, he won't. If I get hurt, it'll be my own fault. I'm going into this with him, knowing he's different. He's not, I don't know, tame. But neither are you, Dad, are you? And you're what I know. You've been my example in life. You're not tame or safe in some ways. And you may not be nice, but you're good. And so is he.
I nod. I get it, and I respect that. But my prerogative as your father is to break the face of anyone who fucks with you, and I will, whether you like it or not. So if our boy Oz prefers to have his face in one piece, he'll treat you like the precious thing you are. Her face softens.
He does, Daddy. He really does.
I hug her. Good. Another kiss to the top of her head. And try to get in before one next time, huh? She just nods, and I leave her to go upstairs. Nell is standing at the top of the stairs, wrapped in a robe, staring off into space. She follows me into our room, and I close the door.
She's all grown up, Nell says.
I know.
When did that happen?
I shrug, shake my head. I don't know. We blinked, I guess. She gives me a tender smile.
You're a good daddy, Colt.
I sigh. Am I doing the right thing? Letting her go through this thing with Oz, it doesn't feel like it. But mentally, I don't think I have any other choice. She sheds the robe and climbs back into bed, naked.
I think you're right. I'd rather know what she's doing, even if I don't necessarily like it, than forbid her and have her sneaking out.
Or worse, running away. I'm thinking of myself, 17, and alone in New York. So young. Too young to fend for myself. It's why I swore, when Kylie was young, that I wouldn't make the same mistakes my parents did. But am I making different ones that are just as bad? I worry that there's no way to know, and no way to avoid making mistakes as a parent. I shed my shirt and climb in beside Nell, feel her warmth against me and her hair tickling my cheek. No matter how good your kid is, sometimes life has a way of bringing shit to them that no one can foresee or protect against. If that happens to Kylie, I'll just have to be there to help her get through it.
Chapter 9. Germinating Seeds. Oz. Kylie asked me to get tested, so I did, and came back clean. I sat in the waiting room of her doctor's office while she got birth control, and then we went together to buy protection. It felt odd, and strangely comforting to do all that together. As if we were making decisions together, not merely thinking about the moment, but looking at the future. As if we were planning for a future together. The idea gives me hope. She's 18 now. I spent her birthday at her parents' house, eating cake, hanging out, laughing, having fun. All the things I've never done on my own birthdays. I gave her a book of sheet music of some of the popular country songs. She loved it. So now she's 18. We're both tested and protected, and there's nothing left but the right moment. I'm thinking she deserves better for our first time together, to be somewhere other than in my nasty room on my mattress on the floor. I've never been into romantic gestures, but I want to do something. The only problem is, romantic gestures cost money I don't really have. All that happened a few days ago, and it's been tense and difficult since then. The doctor was very clear that we couldn't do anything until the pills had had time to get into her system. And waiting, waiting, waiting has been so hard, so impossible. We have to pull ourselves back from the edge, pull our heated, fiery need back, reel in the messy, drowning kisses before we get carried away, lose ourselves in each other and forget why we have to wait. We try to distract ourselves with studying for tests and finishing assignments, but it's hard. We get lost in a delirious fervor, lose ourselves in the silence of my room, kisses stolen in her car, on my bike in a parking lot far from anywhere. A week of hungry looks and ravenous hands and roaming, trembling bodies. To distract ourselves, we study together, and we play music. We write songs, we learn covers, we learn how to play together, how to read each other musically, what we can do well and what we can't. She's teaching me to read music, which is easier than I thought it would be. And now? Now finally we're clear to do what we want. We're in her car, cruising through Friday late afternoon traffic, heading downtown. Kylie has a list of honky-tonks and bars she wants us to audition at. We've spent the last few days practicing some original tunes and a few covers. The first place is a dark sports bar off the strip. Kylie arranged the audition last week, so the manager is expecting us. He shakes our hands, introduces himself as Dan, and points at the stage. It's a one-step-up platform in the corner of the bar, our backs to the windows facing the street. There's a battered, scratched, tan upright piano on one wall, and a couple of stools, mic stands. Kylie and I have no gear except my guitars and amp, so I haul my amp in and set it up, plug in my electric guitar, and settle on the stool while Kylie tinkers on the piano keys, testing its sound and tuning. "That piano's kind of a piece of shit," Dan says. He's a guy in his late 30s with a high and tight haircut, a muscular build, and a goatee. "Needs tuning, but it'll work for an audition, I guess. Ready when y'all are." Kylie nods at me and I dig deep, nodding my head to count out the beat. And then I'm into the opening of the second song we did for the talent show. It's a pretty killer intro solo, and when Kylie comes in with the piano and starts singing, it turns into something hypnotic. The manager is impressed, I can tell. We finish that song, and then I switch electric for acoustic, and Kylie brushes her hands across the keys as if to sweep away dust on the black and white, as if to brush away the old song to make way for the new. It's a gesture of hers that I've noticed. It's cute. I hit a muted chord 3 times, counting out the beat, and then Kylie comes in, playing a stripped-down version of Ed Sheeran's Kiss Me. I'm the most nervous about this song. Our version of it relies most heavily on our harmony. I can play the guitar part easy enough, and Kylie's piano is the real backbone of it musically. But hitting the right notes together at the right time, it's hard, and I'm not super confident in my own singing. I quickly realized that when Kylie had claimed to be decent on the piano, she meant crazy fucking good. She does suck at guitar, though. She wasn't exaggerating about that. We get through the song okay, although I messed up the words in one spot. "That was good, real good," Dan says. "I mean, that song in particular may not be right for the crowd we get, but y'all can jam, that's for sure. Got anything a little more country?" I nod. "Yeah, how about Cannery River by Green River Ordnance?" We get a nod, and I switch guitars again. This was the trickiest song to arrange for a duet. Neither of us plays the fiddle, but I figured out a way to emulate one with my electric guitar taking the melody originally written for the violin. Kylie did the rest with a complex piece of piano composition. It sounds good, I think, but it's up to this guy, not us. We dive in, and I'm playing long, mournful, wailing notes, and Kylie is bent over her piano, fingers flying. The vocals are almost all me, which scares the fuck out of me. I feel my voice go shaky midway through, nerves threatening to screw me up. I close my eyes and focus on the guitar, focus on the words, suck it up, and keep going. We get a couple claps out of Dan. "That was fucking fantastic. You guys are in." He points at me, grinning. "You almost lost it there for a second, didn't you, pal?" I nod. "Yeah, almost." He slaps his thigh and stands up from the bar stool. "Well, you pulled it off. Give me more of that and some originals. How about 3 weeks from now? Thursday the 21st, 8 p.m. I can't let you play past, like, 9:30 unless you're 21. So give me a good performance and we'll see how it goes." He squints at Kylie. "You look familiar. What'd you say your name was?"
"Kylie."
"Kylie what?" She obviously doesn't want to reveal her last name, but she does.
"Calloway."
"Calloway, shit. You're Nellan Colt's daughter, aren't you?" She sighs.
"Yeah, but..."
Dan talks over her. "You were in before I knew that, so don't think I'm hiring you because of that. Does he know you're trying to gig?" She shrugs.
"Yeah."
Dan nods. "Good, I'll call Colt and talk to him. If he's okay with it, I might let you play a bit later in the busier bar hours. I'm not really supposed to, but since you're Colt's kid, I might let it slide."
"I don't want any special favors just because..."
Dan cuts in again. "Look, kid, this is a tough-as-fuck business. Getting any gigs at all is hard. If I were you, I'd take whatever leg up you can get. I respect that you want to do this on your own, but an inn is an inn. And believe me when I say that you'll only make it so far on your parents' name anyway. They can get you into clubs and bars, but they can't make the crowd like you. The crowd don't give two shits who your folks are. All they want is good music to drink to." Kylie sighs and nods.
"That makes sense."
Dan shrugs. "All right, then. See you on the 21st. He hands Kylie a business card. "Give this to your dad." I pack up my guitars and lug them in the amp outside and into Kylie's car. We get in and Kylie starts the engine, then turns to me.
"Holy shit!"
She grabs my arms and shakes me.
"We've got our first gig, Oz!"
I smile at her. "We did it, sweetness."
"Now we just have to actually play the gig."
Kylie pulls out into traffic and heads toward her house. We talk about what covers we're going to do and discuss writing some more original material. By the time we get to her house, we're both excited about possibilities and have the first stanza of a new song planned out. Our excitement is doused when we see Ben in his driveway getting into his truck at the same time as we're getting out. Kylie is obviously upset at the mere sight of him, and I feel it. For his part, Ben is staring at me with what looks like open hatred. It's a little shocking and unexpected. He slams his door shut, squeals his tires as he backs out, and floors it, roaring at a reckless speed down the residential street.
His front door opens and his mother comes out, stands on the porch staring after him. I glance at Kylie. What's the deal there? She sighs.
A lot.
She shakes her head and looks up at me.
He's being pissy.
Kylie, we got into a fight the night I left your place late, after our first open mic. He was waiting up for me. He's jealous?
Yeah, apparently you were right. He said he's been in love with me since he was 14.
I groan. Shit, I told you. I walk away from her, worry shooting through me. She follows after me.
Oz, it's fine.
I spin in place. Fine? How is it fine? He's your best friend. I never wanted to come between that.
He had our whole lives to say something to me. He never did, not once. He never let on how he was feeling.
She looks down the street where his truck disappeared, as if she could see him wherever he is now.
I wanted him to, you know. A long time ago. 9th grade, 10th grade. He's awesome, you know? Hot, cool, fun, athletic, popular. Everything a girl could ever want, and I thought he and I could have some kind of fairy tale ending together. So I waited and waited for him to suddenly profess his undying love and whatever, but he never did. And I didn't want to risk ruining our friendship. And then last year he suddenly started dating all these girls and I gave up. And then this year you show up and everything happens between us, and now suddenly he tells me how he feels when it's too late.
I'm torn. He's everything she said he is, and I'm not blind enough to miss that. He has every reason to hate me. Part of me, the part that knows I'm wrong for Kylie, tells me to push her to him. But the selfish part of me won't let that happen. Kylie clearly knows me all too well because she turns to me.
Don't even think about it, Oz. He had his chance. I'm with you.
I laugh. I didn't say anything. She narrows her eyes at me.
But you were thinking it.
I nod. Yeah.
Well, don't. Just don't.
She pulls me toward her front door, lets herself in, shouting for Colt. Daddy, where are you? He comes up from the basement. What's up, Buttercup? She bounds over to him and wraps her arms around his middle.
We got a gig!
He hugs her back. Awesome, where at? She hands him the card.
This place. The manager's name is Dan. He said he would let us play later if you were okay with it. He said it'd be hard to get gigs during primetime since I'm underage.
Colt nods. Yeah, he's right about that. At least when it comes to the Music Row bars and clubs. But there are a lot of open mic nights y'all could do. It's a good way to build a name for yourselves. The whole open mic night crowd of singer-songwriters is a small world, at least when it comes to real talent. He claps me on the back, his other arm around Kylie. Good job, you two. He glances at Kylie. You mind if Mom and I come to watch you and Oz play? She shakes her head.
No, that's fine.
When is it?
Thursday, the 21st.
Cool. We'll be there. He heads back to the basement, and Kylie and I go up to her room. She leaves her door open as I sit at her desk and she sits on her bed. We spend the next few hours alternating between studying for a calculus exam and working on a new song. We are interrupted around 7:30 by Nell.
Dinner's ready.
She looks at me.
Are you staying?
Kylie answers for me.
Yes, he is.
I laugh. I guess I am. A few minutes later, I'm sitting at the round table just off the kitchen. Kylie is on one side of me, Nell on the other, Colt across from me. There's a huge bowl of rotini and meat sauce, garlic bread and salad. I wait and watch as they pass each item around and take a helping when it comes to me. This is odd. I've never had an actual sit-down dinner like this before. It's always just Mom and I, and the rare nights we are both home at dinner time, we eat whatever's quick, sitting on the couch watching TV. I don't know what to do. Should I wait for everyone else to eat? Do they pray first? They don't strike me as religious or spiritual people, but I have this idea, a dumb one I'm sure, that nice, unified suburban families like this always pray before they eat. Do I close my eyes? Are there rules or manners I'm supposed to know about? I didn't wash my hands. I'm still wearing my hat. Should I take it off? 1,000 things run through my head. I'm not eating, just watching Kylie and her family as they dig in without fanfare, chattering amiably, asking each other questions about their day, sharing stories, all of it around mouthfuls of food. Nell notices I'm not eating.
Is it okay, Oz? You're not eating.
I blink. No, it's good. It smells good. Colt comes to my rescue. It's just dinner, Oz. Relax. Eat. Kylie sets her slice of garlic bread down and looks at me.
You okay?
I laugh, uncomfortable, and take a bite of rotini. It's good, really good. Thanks for having me. I hope she'll let it go. She does, for now at least, and I slowly relax a little. I answer a few questions, innocuous ones about where I've lived, which cities I've liked and which I haven't, my favorite bands. Colt and I get into a discussion about motorcycles, and it's during this conversation that I notice Kylie's eyes on me, watching me, happy, curious, eager. Like she's happier than I could ever imagine that I'm here in her home, talking to her dad. It's weird for me. I never thought any girl would ever want to bring me home to meet her parents, but here I am, eating pasta and talking about triumphs with Colt Calloway. And it feels okay. When dinner is over, I help clear the table, and Kylie and I load the dishwasher together. That, too, feels strangely and wonderfully domestic. Colt catches my eye, gestures for me to follow him. I'm stealing your boyfriend, Kylie. We're gonna go look at the bike. Be nice, Kylie says, a note of warning in her voice. I don't know what to expect, but I follow him out into the garage. He opens the garage door, throws the cover off his Triumph. I squat and examine the engine. I hear him rummaging in a drawer, and then I hear the distinctive scrape click of a lighter and smell cigarette smoke. He holds out a pack of Camels, and I take one, light it. A few moments pass, and then he leans back against the workbench. You get my daughter hooked on these, I'll kick your ass. He lifts the cigarette. That's what I told her. I don't let her smoke, and I try not to smoke around her. He nods. Good. He narrows his eyes at me. Listen, I'm not going to give some big speech to you or try to scare you. I don't need to, I don't think. I shake my head. No, sir, you don't. There are a few things I do need to address, though. One, those scars on your arms. Is that going to be a problem? I turn my forearm so the underside is facing up and stare at the scars. No, sir. I swallow hard. I'm not gonna lie, it used to be a pretty big problem. And sometimes I do still get the urge. But I don't burn anymore. I'm not saying your daughter was the reason I stopped, because she's not. She helps, though. I don't want to be that guy. She deserves better than that. Fucking right she does. Colt's eyes are all-knowing. You quit burning on your own? Or did you see someone? I debate what to say. In the end, I go for the truth. I spent 2 months in a psychiatric hospital a while back, just before I graduated high school. Burning myself was becoming a habit. It got pretty bad. Things were really shitty. I was always in trouble at school. There were these kids, bullies. No one stopped them, and no one even tried. They ran the school. I wouldn't put up with their bullshit, to the point that I almost got expelled for beating the shit out of a couple of them. It just kept getting worse. It wasn't physical bullying. It was psychological. It was a very socially and economically segregated school, and I didn't fit in with any of the groups. I was failing all my classes, my mom was riding my ass, the principal was about to expel me, and there was no good answer. That was when I really started burning. My mom noticed, freaked out. I kept doing it, and by the time the year was over, Mom was seriously on the verge of a nervous breakdown about it, so she took me to a shrink. I wouldn't talk, wouldn't cooperate. I hesitate, not wanting to share the next part. The burning got bad. Really bad. Mom couldn't handle it, thought I'd, try to kill myself. So she had me involuntarily committed to a psych hospital. At first, I treated it like I did everything else, uncooperative, all that. But then I realized that maybe they could help me out with the urge to burn. See, I never wanted to. It was this compulsion. I couldn't stop it. My hands would do it without the rest of me agreeing.
I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but that's how it was. I hated the hospital, but they did help me understand a bit. Did you think about suicide? I shake my head. No, sir. It wasn't about wanting to die or end my life. It was just... The burning pushed away the other things I was feeling, things I didn't know how to deal with. What about hard drugs? I shake my head again. No way, seen that shit kill people. No. Colt sighs. Word is you still smoke pot. Word is? I lift an eyebrow. Whose word? Ben. I grimace. Ben. He hates me. I know, but answer the question. Do you? I nod. Sometimes, not often. My heart is hammering. Has Kylie? Not with me. Quit that shit, Oz. It's not doing you any favors. I've been there, and that's the only reason I'm this calm about it. I don't want it around my daughter. If I catch even a whiff of that shit on my daughter, bad things will happen. He points at me with his cigarette. My daughter likes you. You and I have a lot in common, Oz, and that scares me. But I turned out okay, so I'm taking a chance on you, letting you around Kylie. I nod. I hear you, and thank you. Yeah, well, I'd rather know you and know where my daughter is when she's with you than have her running off to elope with you or some bullshit because I tried to keep you apart. He says this with a trace of bitterness. I want good things for Kylie, sir. I know you and Nell are important to her, and there's no way I'd try to take her away from y'all like that. Good. He eyes me speculatively. You got any experience working on engines? I bobble my head back and forth. A little. I'd like to learn. Colt digs through a small box on the workbench, comes up with a business card. This is a buddy of mine. He needs an extra hand in his garage. Go see him tomorrow. I'll tell him to expect you. He'll pay you good if you work hard. I take the card. That's legit, Colt, thanks. You can do better than changing oil. He jerks his head at the house. Go on, she's waiting. I head toward the door and he calls me back. Oz? One last thing. You knock up my baby girl, you and I are gonna have problems. Very serious problems. I freeze with my hand on the knob. That won't happen, sir. You have my word. Better not. Kylie is waiting for me, and as soon as I come in from the garage, she's dragging me back out to her car. I wave at her mom and thank her for the dinner, and then Kylie and I are flying out of her sub toward my apartment. What did my dad say? Kylie asks. I shrug. Wanted to make sure the burning wasn't an issue. Wanted to know about what Ben said about me smoking pot. Wanted to make sure I don't get you pregnant.
What Ben said?
Kylie seems confused. Apparently, Ben told him I smoke pot. I don't know. Kylie frowns, and then her expression clears.
Oh, Dad overheard my argument with Ben the other night. Ben said he knows for a fact that you smoke pot. That must be what he's talking about.
Well, all things considered, I think it went well. She glances at me.
What did you tell him about the burning?
The truth? It used to be a problem. I told him about the whole psych hospital thing.
The what?
Shit. I forgot I hadn't told her about that little detail. So I go back and give her the same rundown I did Colt. She takes my hand and squeezes.
That's awful, Oz. Why do people have to pick on you?
I don't know. I'm different. I think it's partly the schools Mom put me in. She was always trying to make sure I went to the best school in the city. She'd find a place to live that would let me go to the better school. I appreciate the idea and the safer schools and whatever, but I'd have fit in better at the shitty schools. No one would have paid me any attention there. Not like they do where she always had me going. I didn't fit in. I never have. We arrive at my apartment, and I hustle her inside into my room. She makes herself at home, kicking aside a pile of dirty clothes and sitting on my bed. I watch her and decide to broach the subject that's been nagging at me all day. Kylie, I've been thinking. She laughs.
Uh-oh.
No, nothing bad. I just hate the fact that this shithole apartment is the only place we have to be alone. I just wish I had somewhere nicer we could go to be together. For our first time together, I mean. She frowns at me. I couldn't care less where we are, Oz. As long as we're together, I don't care. This is your room, your space. And some of my best memories are here in this room, getting to know you. She grins at me, blushing. Kissing you, touching you. All the things we did together. That happened here. I don't need the Ritz-Carlton or a million-dollar penthouse. I don't need you to be anyone or anything other than who you are. She extends her hands to me. I move to sit beside her on the bed, but she grabs my wrists and jerks me toward her. She lies down, pulling me, and I fall forward, laughing, land on top of her. There. Now I'm somewhere nice. She grins up at me. Fuck, Kylie. You're too much. Way too awesome for a guy like me. I plant my fists beside her shoulders, taking my weight off her. But I'll take it.
That's right. You will.
She runs her palm up my cheek, sweeping my hat off and tossing it aside, tugging my hair out of its ponytail.
I liked seeing you in my home, talking with my parents. I like having you in my life.
Me too. It was a little strange at first, but I liked it. She tilts her head to one side with a confused expression.
What was dinner? What was that about, anyway?
I shrug. I've just never had dinner like that. At a table, a whole family all together. It was just weird. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. She laughs. What you were supposed to do? It's just dinner, you eat. I snort. Yeah, I got that part. But it's a little nerve-wracking, okay? A formal family dinner with your girlfriend's parents is a big deal.
Oh.
She's serious now.
I didn't think about it like that.
It's fine, I had a good time.
And now we're here,
she says, slipping her fingers under my shirt to roam my back. Now we're here. Her fingernails skim up my spine, pushing my shirt with it. And then she's tugging it off and sliding her palms down my sides, cups my ass and pulls me closer.
You should get me naked, she whispers. There's no reason for us to stop this time.
I awoke a greedy little monster in you, didn't I? She's wearing a white button-down shirt and a knee-length gray cotton skirt. I lean back on my knees and unbutton the top of her shirt, and then the second button. She rests her hands above her head, her eyes locked on me.
You sure did, baby. A very hungry monster. Ravenous. Insatiable.
I pop the rest of the buttons open and suck in a breath. She's wearing a skimpy red push-up bra. I'm instantly hard, and her eyes go to my crotch.
It's a front clasp,
she breathes. I keep my eyes on hers as I unhook her bra. And then she's leaning up toward me, letting her shirt and bra fall away off her arms and shoulders. Jesus, those tits. So fucking amazing. I graze my palms over them, feel her nipples harden under my touch, cup their weight. She sighs, a breathy moan of delight. And then she's opening my pants, pushing me backward and jerking my jeans down. I'm fumbling desperately at the stretchy waistband of her skirt, pulling it haphazardly down around her hips, one side sticking at her waist, the other rolled down to show a scrap of red thong strap. She kneels between my legs and lets me shove the elastic down, and she's kicking the cotton away, and she's there above me, red blonde hair a curtain around her face, her vivid blue eyes hot and eager on mine. She's almost naked, clad only in the thong, a tiny bit of red silk matching her bra. I run my hands down her back and over her ass, and the feel of her taut, plush, soft, and perfect backside in my hands makes my cock go harder, achingly rigid, bursting full of need to feel her on me, soft around me, touching, licking, kissing, sucking, fucking loving. I growl as I dig clawed fingers into the muscle of her ass,
clutching and pulling her closer to me. I rip the thong down, tugging the little string out from between her ass cheeks, strip it off, and I can smell her desire, smell the knee juices seeping from her pussy. She's not idle as I'm doing this. She's pulling at my boxers, getting the elastic stuck on the head of my engorged cock, tugging them away and down and off, and we're naked together, free together, breathing in the silence, breathing each other's breath, and feeling skin against skin, eyes on eyes, electric blue on gray, almost brown. We meet in an instinctual, frantic kiss, arms sliding serpentine on heated flesh, hands grasping at curves and muscle and searching for everything, needing everything. My fingers find her slick, hot cleft and delve in, drag a moan and sigh from her sweet lips as they move on mine, and her hand slides between us and finds my cock and caresses it and squeezes it, and we're panting, panting.
I can't wait anymore, Oz. Please.
Kylie's face, inches from mine, is pleading. She grabs her purse from the floor, keeping as much of her body against mine as possible while she finds the little gray box of condoms and opens it, pulls the string of foil squares out, rips one free, tears it open, examines it, figures out which way it rolls and sits up to straddle me. I'm still, letting her do this, watching her beauty, breathless at the fantasy of this happening, the implausibly incredible truth of this gorgeous, perfect girl, this woman, naked with me, wanting me, needing me, allowing me to touch her and kiss her. It shouldn't be me, but it is. I'm just a hood rat, a metal kid, a pot-smoking fighter. The kid who's been to juvie and psych wards, who's been suspended more times than I could ever count, expelled once, beaten up countless times, shot, nearly stabbed once, left for dead in a parking lot. Fatherless, friendless, homeless, rootless. How could I possibly deserve to have this glorious, pale-skinned, fire-haired, lightning-eyed beauty? This goddess. But here she is, in my room, with me, wrapping her tender, eager little white fingers around my aching cock and sliding the condom on, rolling it down, so gently erotic that I don't dare breathe or move or feel or unclench my muscles. And she's watching me, perhaps seeing all the thoughts in my head, seeing me for me the way she always has.
Oz, she whispers, are you here?
I slide my hands up her thighs and grasp her waist. Yeah, babe, I am. I'm just marveling.
At what?
She's sitting up on my thighs, balanced easily, her heavy tits not quite covered by the copper fall of her hair, her thighs opened enough to show me her pussy, to show me how wet she is for me. You. I swallow hard, blink, emotional in a way I'm not sure how to deal with or express. Just fucking amazed that you're here with me, that I get to have you, get to do this with you. You've waited so long for the right guy, the right time, and for reasons I just cannot fucking fathom, you pick me. Messed up, fucked up me. You're perfect, Kylie. So perfect. Every inch of your body is perfect. Your soul is so beautiful. Your mind, your heart, your personality. You just glow like a sun in the darkness, Kylie. You light up the blackness that has been my life. And I don't know how to ever be the kind of man you need and deserve. But I want to try. For you, for me. And for us, for the possibility of us. I'm letting all this come out of me. Honesty, truth, things I'm not all that acquainted with. God damn, listen to me going on like some emotional sissy. Kylie is crying. Fuck, I've messed this up before it can begin.
Oz. Jesus, Oz.
She leans down,
and her big soft boobs squish against my chest and her mouth trembles against mine. Her hair falls to either side of our faces, and I feel her tears, the hammering of her heart, the shaking of her hands as they clutch my face.
I don't even know what to say to all that, except you already are what I want, what I need, what I deserve. And I'm not perfect, but the fact that you think so makes me so happy. Because I think you're perfect too. Messed up, fucked up, beautiful, tough, strong, sweet, and sexy.
She rolls off me, pulls at me. I move above her, slip my hips between her knees, and she hugs me with her thighs, holds my shoulders and looks up at me, expectant, waiting, begging without words.
Kylie, this is what you want. With me. Now.
You're sure? I have to ask, have to make sure. She laughs.
Yes, Oz, so sure, so ready. Please, please. I'm aching. My insides ache. My pussy is on fire. I need you. Touch me. Make me come.
Shit. How am I supposed to resist that? I can't. And I don't have to. I touch her with my two middle fingers and find her wet and tight. Slip my fingers inside her. Caress her, stroke her. Spread her essence over her clit, and pinch that little erect nub of nerves and rub and stroke it until she's gasping and moving beneath me, moaning. I circle, swipe, circle. Delve deep, touch her deep inside, curl my fingers to find that spot that makes her writhe and growl in her throat. Circle her clit until she's bucking. And watching her come apart makes me harder than ever, makes my cock ache to be inside her.
Oz. Oh, fuck, Oz.
Her eyes fly open, and she drives her hips upward, spine arcing, breasts heaving as she comes to my touch. Ready? I nudge against her opening. She nods, breathless, a jerky bob of her head, and she reaches between us. Grips my cock and nestles the head between the wet lips of her pussy.
Yeah, baby. I'm ready. So ready.
I gently, slowly slide into her, and I can barely hold on, barely hold back, because every notion of good or pleasant or perfect is blasted into nothing by the feel of her slick, tight heat. I can't breathe, can barely support my own weight. I feel resistance inside her, and know that this is the part that will hurt her. She feels it, her face tight, brows drawn. I still.
Okay?
She nods.
Yeah, just give me a second.
Does it hurt? She nods.
Yeah, it does. Not bad, but it does.
I'm shaking all over, need desperately to move, but I don't, can't, won't. Tell me what you need, what you want. She grips me by the shoulders, her fingers claws in my skin.
Just do it. Push through it.
I take a deep breath and hesitate, then touch my forehead to hers and push deep. I feel the skin of resistance break and she gasps sharply.
Oh, shit. That hurt.
I'm sorry, Kai. So sorry. I hate the pain on her face. But even as I watch, stilled inside her, I see her expression shifting. She shakes her head, and the fingers of her left hand press over my lips to silence me.
Don't apologize. It doesn't hurt anymore. It's okay. I'm okay.
Her eyes widen, and I can't help but shift my hips a little, seeking relief from the burgeoning pressure inside me, seeking relief for the aching need of my throbbing cock. She feels so good, and I need to move. But I won't until she's ready. Yet I can't help the little wiggle of my hips, and she gasps,
Oh, do that again, Oz.
Her voice is shaky, but with equal parts awe and pleasure. As slowly and gingerly as I possibly can, I pull back, and her grip on my shoulders moves to my waist, then to my ass, one hand on each of my ass cheeks. And when I hesitate, she pulls at me ever so slightly.
Oh, my God. That feels so good, Oz. Again. Again, baby.
I love that she calls me baby. It makes the ridiculous emotional part of me go all sappy. I draw back and slide deep, all in one motion this time, and she gasps. And now she's pulling at my ass to get me to move, and her back is arching off the bed. God damn, Kylie. You feel so, so good. I whisper this to her, press my lips to her ear, and huff the words low and mumble to her. I love the way you feel. You're so tight.
Oz. Oh, fuck, Oz. I didn't know.
Her voice is thick and emotional with awe and bliss and other things I can't sort out.
I didn't know it would be like this. I feel so full. Filled with you. I didn't know. And I'm so glad I waited. So glad it's you.
Our eyes meet. And she's crying. Slow, fat tears sliding sideways toward her ears. I put my weight on one hand and brush the tears away. I know, somehow, that they're good tears. Her arms wrap around my neck and pull me close in an embrace, and we're moving together, her hips lifting to meet mine now. And there's only Kylie, only her body and mine merging. There's never been anyone or anything before this. Whatever I may have felt or done before this is irrelevant. Something totally unrelated to what I'm experiencing now. Those other meaningless moments were a single candle flame, flickering weakly in the corner of an empty room. It's a sun. Kylie, her breath in my ear and her arms around me and her lips whispering my name in pleading awe and her legs curling around my waist to hold me deep and close. It's not just a sun. It's a galaxy. A whole universe of numberless stars scintillating with matchless glory.
Oh, Oz. Oz. My Oz.
She writhes against me, breathing only to whisper my name. Yes, Kylie. Yours. So true. I am hers. I've never belonged anywhere to anyone. Now I do. I feel her tightening around my cock, and I feel myself losing control, slipping over the edge. The motion of her hips becomes frantic, slamming against mine. Our hip bones crash and clash, and her arm clutches my neck with fierce strength, and I'm holding myself above her with one fist, the other hand tangled into hers. Our fingers grip each other, and I hear myself grunting, groaning, gasping.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
She's panting.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Oz. Oh, fuck, Oz. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop.
I laugh. Why the hell would I stop? She laughs with me.
I don't know, but please don't. I'm gonna come so hard, so fucking hard.
Me too, sweetness. Right now. God, I'm coming right now, Kylie.
Yes, yes.
Her fingernails gouge down my back, dig into my ass, and her hips slam, slam, slam against mine, and she's shrieking a wordless wail. Together, then, we come. It's nuclear explosion. Every cell in my body lighting up and striking nova hot. And I can't stop myself from crashing into her again and again. But she welcomes my hard thrusts with frantic slamming strokes of her own, and the only sound coming from her lips is my name, over and over and over again, chanting as we finally slow and go limp. I slump onto her for a moment, unable to hold my weight any longer. Her arms slide around my shoulders, and her hands circle soothingly on my back and neck. Her lips touch my ear, and she's gasping for breath, her heels hooked around the back of my knees. I move to get up, but she holds me in place.
No, don't move. I love this. I love your weight on me.
I'm crushing you. She wraps her arms and legs tighter around me.
Good. Crush me.
You're crazy. I laugh. She nods against me.
Yep.
We stay like that for a time I have no need to measure. Eventually, I roll off her and pull out of her, duck into the bathroom to wrap up and throw away the condom. When I come back, Kylie is sprawled on her stomach on my bed, the sheet low over her ass, her hair a tangle on my pillow. I open the window a crack and light a cigarette, smoke it slowly, and watch Kylie sleep in my bed. I'm drowsy too. I crush out the cigarette and slide down and lie beside her, my back pressed against the wall, giving her space, not wanting to disturb her. She murmurs something inaudible. Her eyes crack open and she sees me, shifts toward me. I pull her head onto my chest, tug the sheet over us. Another first for both of us. I sleep with her, holding her, and I sleep better than I ever have in my life.
Shit!
Kylie's panic curse wakes me. I sit up. What's wrong, sweetness?
It's almost 1 a.m, Oz. I should go home.
What time are you supposed to be back? She shrugs.
I don't have a set time.
Then how about you just send your dad a text to check in? She taps at her phone, and I read the text over her shoulder. Hanging out with Oz still, just checking in. A few seconds later, her dad's response comes through. Thanks for checking in. Be home by 2. ILU. Okay, thanks, and ILU too. She sends the text, puts the phone away, and scoots off the bed. We both see the splotch of blood on the sheets at the same time, and neither of us knows quite how to react. I meet Kylie's eyes.
Are you okay?
She nods.
Yeah, a little sore, I guess. But really, really good.
Sorry about your sheets? She says it like a question. I shrug. No big deal, they're just sheets. I'll take care of it.
Good, I have to pee.
She stands up, still naked, and I simply cannot take my eyes off her.
Will your mom be home anytime soon? Should I put on clothes to go to the bathroom?
I wave my hand. Nah, she's never home before 2 or 3. You're good. While Kylie is in the bathroom, I strip the sheets off the bed and wad them into a ball. I take them out into the kitchen and stuff them into the kitchen trash, which I then tie up and set by the front door. I put the single set of clean sheets on my bed and sit, thinking how strange it is that I have absolutely zero desire to get high right now. Always before, with the random girls in my past, we'd smoke before and after, to numb the sense of vulnerability. It's easier to pretend it doesn't mean anything, to act as if the casual, one-time-only nature of our liaisons was normal when we are blazed out of our skulls. With Kylie, I'm sober. I'm totally me, totally aware of how significant what we just shared was. I relish the significance. Admit that having it be so real, so meaningful and deeply potent, makes it infinitely better. It's not the same act at all. Not even close. My door opens and Kylie enters, closing the door behind her, and then just stands there, weight on one leg, a shy smile on her lips, eyes bright and happy. She stares at me, just looks until I'm unnerved.
What?
I ask. She shrugs.
Nothing, just looking at you. You're gorgeous, you know. Like this especially. Naked, with your hair down. All for me.
Finally, she closes the distance between us, sits on the bed. I notice she's brushed her hair and I smell soap.
Me?
No. But thanks, babe. You're the gorgeous one.
Hey, if I say you're gorgeous, then you are. To me. You don't have to think so for it to be true to me.
She laughs. This is kind of a backward conversation, isn't it? I shrug. Yeah, kind of, I guess. Does it turn you off that I'm not all alpha and confident and all that? She shakes her head.
No, it doesn't.
But the thing is, you are when you're not thinking about it. You just don't know how to take a compliment. When you're being yourself, you are confident. You know exactly who you are, and you don't make any excuses or apologies for that. That's hot. It's part of what drew me to you. You were so different, and you just don't give a fuck. I love that about you. You just need to accept that I think you're a beautiful person, inside and out. You have flaws, sure. You've had a rough life, and the fact that you're so sweet with me, despite how hard you've had it, is just incredible. Well, thank you. She shrugs. It's just the truth. A slow grin crosses her lips. I still have an hour before I have to be home. Whatever are we going to do to fill that time? I play along. I have no idea. We could watch TV, play Scrabble. She laughs, a light, delightful tinkle. Sounds boring. I think you should lie down and let me see how long it takes to get you hard again. I shift down onto my back and she sits astride me. I like this game, I say. And then my eyes slide shut as her fingers find me, stroke me. I'm pretty sure it won't take too long. She feathers her fingers over my length and then rolls the tip between her fingers. Already I feel the blood rushing south, filling me. Not long at all, it looks like, Kylie murmurs. What if I did this? She lowers her mouth to my cock, licks me, flicks me with her tongue, and then resumes using her hands when I start to grow. God, Oz, I love this so much. Watching you get hard, touching you and knowing I make you react that way. It makes me feel powerful. You make my cock hard just by being you, I tell her. She strokes me, long, slow, lazy slides of her hand along my now fully erect length. I think you're ready now. I nod. I think so, too. Tell me what you want, sweetness. She opens a condom and rolls it onto me. Uh-uh. How about I just show you? I groan. God, I love how you do that. Put it on me. I hold her hips as she settles over me. Do whatever you want, baby. I plan to. Oh, man. I'm so deeply enthralled by her. Captivated by the way she's taking over, taking what she wants. The way she's so eager and passionate and ready for everything with me. She's got my cock in her hand, the other planted on the mattress by my face to support her weight. She's straddling my hips, her ass in the air, and she's lining my cock up to her entrance. Her eyes narrow and her mouth falls open, and she doesn't hesitate one single second. She slides me into her tight, wet heat, gasping with an open mouth as I fill her. Oz, shit, you're just so fucking big. It doesn't seem possible that your cock could fit inside me. She sinks down so our hips meet, and I'm deep, so deep. But it does, and it's so perfect. Like you were made to fit inside me like this. Her spine bows outward, and her head descends to press a kiss to my throat, and my hands are roaming over her body, sliding over her hips, up her sides, cupping her boobs and caressing her face. And all this while she's just impaled on me, not moving. Both of us reveling in how we puzzle fit together, how insanely beautiful this is. Her above me, kissing all over me, as if her mouth can't get enough of my skin. And I'm kissing her the same way, all over, everywhere my lips can reach to sip my fill of her milk-pale skin, silk-soft skin, fire-hot flesh. Nipples between my teeth, tits in my hands, hips between my fingers, eyes like hot as fire, like lightning, like electricity, like the ocean, her breath in ragged puffs. And now she leans onto me, head on my chest, spine bowing out, drawing my cock so I'm almost slipping out, and I'm trembling with the need to glide in hard and deep. But I don't. I let her guide us, let her taste the ache of emptiness. She groans and drives me up into her, rises up on her shins, balancing, and her tits sway heavily as she weaves her fingers into her hair, eyes closed, back arched, head tilted back. Ready? She breathes the question. So ready.
I hold her hips and stare at her, filling my eyes and my soul and my memory with this vision of her seductive, erotic beauty. She grinds on me, a roll of her hips, bites her lower lip and grinds again, lifts up, sinks down, moans my name, lift, sink, moan. A rhythm then, slow, savoring the outstroke, and the emptiness and the glide as I fill her, and then the deep, grinding fullness, each motion deliberate. Faster then, lifting strokes, her thick, strong thighs rippling as she rises up, her fucking glorious tits bouncing, swaying, and I'm meeting her, matching her, driving up as she sinks down. Lick my tits, Oz. She looks down at me, never slowing our rhythm. Suck on my nipples. I lift up and she leans down, and I take her left nipple into my mouth, suckle it, nip it, bite gently, lick, kiss the areola and the impossibly soft skin around it. She moans, holds my head to her chest. I shift to suck on her right nipple, bite it just a little too hard, and she shrieks. But a smile is on her face when I glance up at her, so I know I didn't hurt her. She's rolling on me now, riding me in a hard, fast rhythm, leaning back and balancing, riding, grinding, taking everything she wants from me and giving me what I need so badly in doing so. It's all of us, an us that's fused, two beings merged and made one. I've heard the lines about how sex is a man and woman becoming one, and I never got it, scoffed, made fun of it. But God, do I get it now. This is so, so intense, almost frightening how intense, how much I feel every particle of her soul within me, how I know she's consuming all that I am and that I have absolutely no wish to take myself back. I've never belonged, never fit, never been a part of anything. Now I do. Now I'm part of an us with Kylie, and I'm totally abandoned to it. I watch her come. It's honestly the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. She doesn't quite scream, but the sounds she makes are loud and breathy and desperate, and her hips are rolling violently on mine, grinding with my cock deep inside her, and she's clawing at her own body, as if there is a fountain of fire inside her and she's got to get it out any way she can. Her hands lift her own tits, crush them as she whimpers and moans, riding me wildly, and I can only match her thrust for thrust, and I feel my own release pouring through me. I grip her hips and jerk her down onto me, drive up into her, and the groans coming from me are her name, chanted the way she did mine last time. Her eyes are open and watching me, and I can't take my gaze from her, even though as I come my instinct is to close my eyes. I keep them open and let her see into me as I release. Our hips meet in slow, clashing, stuttering, grinding, and then we go still, and she collapses on top of me, panting. Her weight on me is nothing at all, and I hold her, smoothing her hair back, and scratching her back and caressing her ass.
That was even better than the first time, she mumbles. I can't wait to see how good it is next time.
Me neither.
Can I just sleep here?
She burrows into me and I hold her tight.
Yeah, babe.
I feel myself slipping out of her and grimace. Let me just get rid of this. I pull out, and she shifts forward so I can pull the condom off, tie a messy, clumsy, but effective knot in it, and stuff it in the crack between the bed and the wall to throw away later.
I don't want to ever move. I want to stay here forever just like this,
she murmurs into my ear. Me too. Silence stretches between us, comfortable and easy. I feel her slipping into sleep, and I know I have to stay awake to make sure she's home on time. It's hard, though. She's a warm, comforting weight on me, her hair tickling me, her breath on my neck, her hands affectionate and tender in my hair, curled by my face. Nothing has ever been this perfect. Nothing. I pull the flat sheet up to partially cover us and feel myself getting drowsy.
I try to stay awake, but it's futile. I'm awoken by the front door opening and closing, the sounds of Mom coming home early, setting her things down, lighting a cigarette. I glance at the clock. 1:39. Shit, Kylie has to go. I hear my door open, and Mom squeaks in surprise when she sees the naked girl asleep on top of me. Close the door, Mom. I say it calmly, although I'm anything but. Kylie jerks awake at the sound of my voice, twists to look, and I feel her go tense.
Shit.
She rolls off me and tugs the sheet over herself.
Mrs. Hyde.
But Mom is closing the door, and we're alone again.
Oh my God, Oz, she saw us. I'm so embarrassed.
It's okay, babe. It's fine. It's not a big deal. I brush a lock of hair away from her eyes. It was good timing, though. It's getting late. Kylie glances at the clock.
Damn it, I do have to go.
I groan. Yeah, I don't want you to, though.
Me neither.
I stand up and hold my hands out to her, help her stand. We both dress, and then we leave the sanctuary of my room. Mom is sitting on the couch, smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. The TV tuned to some reality show rerun, a bunch of rich bitches yelling at each other. She glances at us as we emerge, and the air in the room gets very, very awkward. Hi, Oz? Who's this? Mom, this is my girlfriend, Kylie Calloway.
Hi, how's it going?
Kylie clearly doesn't know what to say, how to act, whether we should address what just happened. I decide to tackle it head on. Look, Mom, about just now... Mom holds up her hand to stop me. Oz, you're an adult. We don't need to talk about it. I'll knock from now on, and you keep your door closed. Thanks, Mom. You are being safe. Right? Mom says through a cloud of smoke. Yes, Mom. Promise. Now, we're not talking about this anymore. I put my hand to Kylie's back, nudging her toward the door. Bye, Mrs. Hyde, Kylie says. Call me Kate. See you later, sweetie. I walk Kylie to her car, make sure she gets in, and lean through the open window. Lock your doors and go through the red lights if there's anyone nearby.
Oz,
she runs her hand through my hair.
I wish I could stay. I wish we could just never have to do this. Never have to say goodbye.
I know.
Me too.
She makes a face, scrunching her eyebrows and pursing her lips.
Your mom took that better than I expected.
Well, we're basically just roommates at this point. I only moved here with her and lived with her to help her out with rent and bills. I live my life and she lives hers.
So she's really just your friend?
Kylie asks. I don't answer for a long time. Do we have to talk about this now? Kylie shrugs.
No, I'm just curious.
I guess you could say we're friends, but there's a lot she's always refused to tell me. I know absolutely zip about my father, and she won't ever tell me shit. I know I've mentioned this. I don't know much about her either, and I sure as shit don't tell her about my life. So... friends? To me, friends share things. Tell each other shit, whatever. Mom and I don't do that. So are we friends? I don't know. I've never really had any friends, so I'm not sure I'm the best judge of what a friend really is. She's my mother and my only family. She's the only constant I've ever had in my life. In her own way, she's reliable. She's kept a roof over my head, food in my belly, clothes on my back. She didn't, like, abuse me, and there was never a constant train of boyfriends. I don't know if she's ever had a boyfriend, actually. If she has, I haven't known about it. I realize this as I'm saying it, and I'm not sure what to think or feel about it all. So she always fulfilled her responsibilities as my mother. She made sure I went to school, packed my lunches, kissed me if I got hurt as a little kid. But are we close? I don't think I could say we are. Not like you are with your folks. I think Mom and I are just